is Christian Questions.
Edward Sanford Martin once said that Thanksgiving Day comes by statute once a year. To the honest man, it comes as frequently as the heart of gratitude will allow. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we are glad that you are here with us to spend some time on this fine Sunday morning. So, Jonathan, what is our topic today?
Well, Rick, our question is, how do you live thankfully? And our theme text is found in Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
There it is, and be thankful. A little trivia for you. Its true meaning is practically forgotten these days. Why, with all of the fun costumes and excitement of Halloween just a few weeks in the past, and with all of the gifts, buying, and decorations, and songs, and movies, and the glitter of Christmas in just a few more weeks, this holiday, almost by a perceived necessity, has been reduced to a Thursday off where families get together and eat a lot and watch football and prepare for the biggest shopping day of the year, which is Friday. What holiday are we talking about? This holiday is Thanksgiving, a uniquely American holiday, and it is already come and gone. The question is, did Thanksgiving have an effect on you, besides overeating, that has the capacity to literally change your life? Folks, stay with us this morning as we examine Thanksgiving and its true life-changing meaning. And I don't know that we necessarily think about Thanksgiving as a life-changing holiday.
You're right, we don't.
We think about it for all of the reasons stated above.
Exactly.
But it really has the capacity to be a life-changing day, and we want to look at why that's so. So, to get started, Jonathan, let's actually go to a soundbite right off the bat here. This is from LDS.org. And /topic/gratitude. So you can go to the website, lds.org, and they do a tremendous job of laying things out in a very practical sense. And I think there's some things here that talk about Thanksgiving daily and its importance. I guess the importance of noticing. I'll say that, and let's listen.
Our minds have a marvelous capacity to notice the unusual.
However, the opposite is true as well.
The more often we see the things around us,
even the beautiful and wonderful things,
the more they become invisible to us.
That's why we often take for granted the beauty of this world. The flowers, the trees,
the birds, the clouds.
Even those we love.
Because we see things so often,
we see them less and less.
I think that's profound.
Oh, it is.
And again, one of the things, the more often we see the things around us, the more they become invisible to us.
That's so true. It's human nature.
We get used to it, and it just becomes sort of mundane, and the awe of the things around us just goes away. And instead of having this awe, we just go, aw. we just sort of skip over the beauty of the world around us. Well, we want to talk about Thanksgiving, and I guess one of our objects this morning, Jonathan, is to open our eyes and to just look around and say, wow, there is greatness to be thankful for here. What are we waiting for?
There really is. And the day after Thanksgiving, my parents came up to visit, and we went on a trip to visit my dad's sister. And when we were driving to Rhode Island, Warwick area, the sunset at night was amazing, and it was so neat. The sunset and the sun kind of behind us as we're going north was gorgeous, but looking north, the colors were totally different. Even though the sun wasn't there, my mom's like, wow, look at that. And so we were in awe of God's creation. It was so neat.
See? You were in true awe, not
yes.
just awe. It was like, awe! Okay, good. And I guess that's the point this morning, folks. What we want to do is focus on not only the things that we're thankful for, but the awe of the things that we're thankful for. To get started, Jonathan, and I think we do this pretty much every year, we take a quick look at the Thanksgiving proclamation by the president, because this is a uniquely American holiday.
It is.
And you know, you don't have the Thanksgiving holiday anywhere else. It's proclaimed in America. We're going to get a little bit of the history in a minute. But let's just read the first paragraph of this year's Thanksgiving proclamation.
One of our nation's oldest and most cherished traditions, Thanksgiving Day, brings us closer to our loved ones and invites us to reflect on the blessings that enrich our lives. The observance recalls the celebration of an autumn harvest centuries ago, when the Wanapog tribe joined the pilgrims at Plymouth Colony to share the fruits of a bountiful season. The feast honored the Wanapog for generously extending their knowledge of local game and agriculture to the pilgrims. And today we renew our gratitude to all American Indians and Alaska Natives. We take this time to remember the ways that the first Americans have enriched our nation's heritage, from their generosity centuries ago to the everyday contributions they make to all facets of America life. As we come together with friends, family, and neighbors to celebrate, let us set aside our daily concerns and give thanks for the providence bestowed upon us.
All right, now, this is not a political program, so we're
no.
not going to make it political. But when you look at that first paragraph, and we're going to be doing this very specifically just to make the point of Thanksgiving. What's the main point that the president is talking about in that first paragraph?
Well, basically thanking the American Indians.
Right. Okay, let's just put that on the shelf. Let's remember that. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. Let's go now to a bit of history. And there's a terrific website, www.pilgrimhall.org. That really well documents the early, early events of the pilgrims. It gives the names of the people that came over on the Mayflower. It's really cool. I love that, looking at that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to touch on a couple of things from that particular website. And this is a direct quote. It says, there are two and only two primary sources for the events of autumn 1621 in Plymouth. Edward Winslow's writing in Mort's Relation and William Bradford writing of Plymouth Plantation. So there's two paragraphs.
Two sources.
That document what actually happened that autumn day in 1621.
Okay.
We're going to read them both to you because it's interesting how nebulous they are in terms of really focusing on, quote, Thanksgiving, unquote. All right. The first paragraph is from William Bradford, and he was the governor. And it says, we quote, they began to now gather in small harvest they had, and had fit up their houses and dwellings against winter, being all well recovered in health and strength, and had all things in good plenty. As for some were thus employed in affairs abroad, others were exercised in fishing about cod and bass and other fish, of which they took good store, of which every family had their portion. All the summer there was no want, and now began to come the store of fowl, as winter approached, of which this place did abound when they came first, but afterward decreased by degrees. And besides waterfowl, there were a great store of wild turkeys, and there you have it, turkeys.
There it is.
Okay, wild turkeys, of which they took many, besides venison and so forth. Besides, they had about a peck of meal a week to a person, or now since harvest, Indian corn to that proportion, which made many afterwards write so largely of their plenty here that their friends in England, which were not feigned but true reports. So really he's recounting the goodness of how things went during the summer of 1621.
Mm-hmm.
Now the pilgrims arrived in the winter of 1620, and I think there were 100-something people, I don't remember, I think 104 people on the boat,
uh-huh.
Half of which died that winter.
Oh, because of sickness.
Right, sickness and cold, and they were just ill-prepared. They were supposed to be landing in Virginia.
Okay.
They missed.
Yeah.
And so they're in a much, much harsher environment than they had anticipated. And so this is talking about the abundance that they had found and actually had to work very hard for. During that summer. So, you know, there is a sense of thankfulness in that writing.
There is.
True sense of thankfulness. And that reminds us of Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
So that is, and I think that's kind of the core of what Thanksgiving is. And folks, listen, we want to hear from you in terms of thankfulness. What are you thankful for? Maybe events that you're thankful for in your lives and how we can ultimately be thankful to God.
Yeah, or for people that you're thankful for or experiences thankful for.
866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, also, one other quick thing. If you go to CQ Rewind, which is a free service at ChristianQuestions.net, and sign up for the free service full edition, the Thanksgiving proclamation that we just read a paragraph of, It's there in its entirety. You can see the whole thing, and it gives you a much better perspective. So keep that in mind, ChristianQuestions.net for CQ Rewind. Let's go now to the other documented historical piece from Edward Winslow's Mort's Relation in terms of the autumn of 1621.
Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, so we might, after a special manner, rejoice together. After we had gathered the fruits of our labors, they 4 in one day killed as much fowl as with a little help besides, served the company almost a week, at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and amongst the rest, their greatest king, Massasoya, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer, which they had brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor, and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at the time with us, yet by the goodness of God we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty.
So here you have a sense of the celebration.
Yeah, the 3-day celebration.
Right, it was 3 days. Now, it didn't say they did it to thank the Indians, did it?
No, it didn't.
But they joined in together.
Yes.
Very, very obviously. And it says, by the goodness of God, we are so far from want. Mm-hmm. There was a thankfulness, very obviously a thankfulness to God, which we're going to get into a little bit more.
Absolutely.
All right, now, let's touch on another soundbite. This one, I love these kind. This is from a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. And Linus always seems to have things sort of in perspective in terms of the right way to look at things. So let's listen to Linus's, and now, I'll comment on it later. Let's just listen to what Linus has to say about Thanksgiving.
Are we going to have a prayer? It's Thanksgiving, you know. Before we're served, shouldn't we say grace?
In the year 1621, the pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world with freedom and justice.
Amen.
So that gives you a sense of Linus's interpretation of the first Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no real documentation for that particular prayer.
Right.
And he says, and Linus is good about that.
He says
a prayer that went something like this.
There you go.
Because you're getting a sense of what they saw as important. And so, folks, we really want to focus on what is Thanksgiving really about? What is so important?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? Who did the very first National Thanksgiving Proclamation come from? It's not what you would expect. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, this morning we are talking about Thanksgiving. We are looking for input in relation to being truly, deeply thankful for people or experiences and events, and how all of that ultimately brings us to Thanksgiving to God. That's really what we want to really focus on this morning. So, folks, we'd love to hear from you and your experiences. Again, it's 866-985-4255. So, Jonathan, you had mentioned at the end of the last segment about the very first Thanksgiving Day proclamation.
Yes.
Well, you'd think it was George Washington because he was the first president of the United States.
And that's what I would have thought until I got the facts.
Just the facts, ma'am. Pilgrimhall.org is the source of this. And this is all very, very, very well documented now. I mean, the early history of the 1600s is somewhat sketchy. But now we're in November 1st, 1777. So this is just the year after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And this first Thanksgiving Day proclamation was made by the Continental Congress. So, again, let's just go touch on a couple of paragraphs here.
For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God.
Okay, stop there for a second.
Oh, you're going to interrupt me?
I am. Who, me? What a powerful sentence. You read that. I just read that sentence again.
For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God.
Adore the superintending providence of Almighty God. This is Continental Congress, November 1st, 1777. Okay, continue.
To acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such further blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him in His abundance mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war for the defense and establishment of our unalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He hath been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops and to crown our arms with most signal success.
So that's the first paragraph. And Jonathan, the paragraph is all about the mighty goodness and grace of God.
That's right, and His overruling providence.
And it's very powerfully about that. There's not a hint or an intimation towards it. That is the main subject.
Yes.
So go ahead, next part of the next paragraph anyway.
It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had fortified every favor and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance.
There is so much in this, John. it's amazing to me how this is saying that we, the citizens of these United States, should set apart this day for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that with one voice the people of this country can express themselves and their gratitude to the Almighty God
and offer forgiveness of their sins. Wow.
And it's interesting that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of those who say that, well, you know, the founding of America had nothing to do with biblical principles or with Christianity, well, take a look at the first Thanksgiving proclamation. They really, really, really wanted God first and foremost. In the last paragraph, it says, and this is further recommended, that servile labor and such recreation, as though at other times innocent, may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment, be omitted on so solemn an occasion. So translation into modern day, there shouldn't be any football games. Really, that's what they're saying. It was a day of solemn praise and thanksgiving. It wasn't a let's have a party day.
It reminds me, Rick, of the Sabbath, the concept of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Setting a day apart for the Lord.
So you set that day apart, you cease from all of your other labors,
right,
and you spend that day essentially looking up in thanksgiving and praise. And that's what that very first Continental Congress in November 1st, 1777 suggested to the nation was a day of solemn praise and thanksgiving. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
And we did have a few technical problems with the blog this past week. They are fixed. So back to blogging, people.
All right.
Jonathan, let's go to a song. This is from a group, Petra, and they were around, I think, like 20 years ago. So it's a little bit old, but the song is called Thankful Heart. And it just puts things in the perspective that we're trying to get to about having this thankfulness toward God. And folks, as you're listening to this, think about those things that you might be thankful for and the experiences and the people you might be thankful for that ultimately bring you your thanksgiving to God. And let us know at 866-985-4255. All right, Fred, let's do this.
I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you. There is no way to begin to tell you how I feel. There are no words to express how you've become so real. Jesus, you've given me so much I can't prepare.
Thankful Heart from Petra. And Jonathan, that gives you a real sense of, well, having a thankful heart.
It really does.
One of the lines I really appreciate in that is, help me be a man of God, a man who's after your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Help me show my gratitude. And I think that really comes down to that first soundbite we listened to earlier in the program about we have all of these things around us, and yet sometimes we don't see them.
That's right.
And so we do need help in basically opening our eyes and being able to express that thankfulness to our God for the incredible blessings of life that he's given us and the experiences that he's given us and the plan that he's given us.
Absolutely.
So, folks, be thankful. Truly thankful. Let's open our eyes this morning. I know it's early, but you know what? Shake it up. Open your eyes.
And share your thankfulness.
At 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And also, Jonathan, another quick reminder in terms of CQ Rewind, that very first Thanksgiving proclamation made by Continental Congress. Mm-hmm. You can read the entire thing at CQ Rewind, which is available at ChristianQuestions.net. You want to sign up for the full edition.
That's right.
It's a free service, so there's no obligation, and then you can read the entire thing and compare things side by side. It's pretty fascinating. Let's look at thanksgiving to God in terms of Scripture, and it really begins with our acknowledgement of His greatness and our little tiny insignificance.
Psalms 86, 1 through 12. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
So in those verses, there is that sense of the bigness of God, mm-hmm. and the insignificance of David here.
Absolutely.
And he says, I am a man of God, and I'm seeking after you, and it's for you that I cry all day long. And so there is an attachment and a determination in terms of seeking God. And that's, I think, what we need to really, really, really get down to true, true thankfulness.
Continuing, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord. Nor are there any works like yours.
And it's interesting the way he says that there's no one like you among the gods, that G is a small g. And basically it's saying, you look at all of the other gods, quote unquote, that people worship, and there's none like the Almighty.
That's right.
Because the Almighty is the centerpiece. And see, the thankfulness, the thanksgiving to God, it begins with our acknowledgement of his greatness and our smallness, and then it continues in faith and praise. And that's what you're seeing here in verses 5 through 8. There's this faith and this praise that just go together. If we pray, and you and I were talking about this
during the break.
If we pray without thankfulness, something's wrong with the prayer.
That's right. We're missing something.
And if we're thankful without prayer, the thankfulness is incomplete.
I like it.
So I think the two have to be intertwined because God is that deserving and that good.
Absolutely.
So let's continue with Psalm 86.
All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, and all my heart will I glorify your name forever.
So here, and I love this because it builds on that faith and praise, and it says, and then there's this marveling at the magnitude of God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. So it's saying, okay, I may have all kinds of great ideas in my own head, but your plan is the one that draws me above and beyond everything else.
That's right.
So Psalm 86 is a great picture and a great example of not only thanksgiving, but in the context, in its appropriate context of prayer.
And also of things to come in the future in God's kingdom.
Absolutely.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? How therapeutic is having a thankful heart on a daily basis? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, we are looking at some Thanksgiving Day history. We're looking at a few proclamations of Thanksgiving. We're looking at the scriptures on Thanksgiving and trying to put it all together. What is Thanksgiving Day supposed to be all about? And that very first Continental Congress Thanksgiving proclamation really settled it, didn't it?
Oh, it did.
it was all about thanking God right from the beginning.
Totally.
Through the end and everything in between.
Yes.
was all about God. And that's such an important part of really understanding what it's about. And look, I know that so many people are just not religious anymore, but that's what the holiday was for.
Mm-hmm.
And if we start to say, well, not really, and it was about the, look at the proclamations, look at what they said it was about, and then try to argue.
One of the things that we did at the Thanksgiving table asked the question, so what are you thankful for? And so there were a dozen of us, and it was great to hear, you know, true heartfelt thankfulness from everyone. Even the kids had, this is what I'm thankful for. It was very special. And then, you know, the Lord's providence was a big part of thankfulness in our discussion.
And that really is the reason for the day.
Yes.
So let's go to Psalm 107, 21 and 22.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing.
So what this is really saying is, look, God is worth it. Thank him.
You got it.
It's putting it in clear-cut perspective. God is worth it. Let's thank him. Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hang on, Julius.
We'll get you on very shortly. Go ahead, Julius.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what to say first. Amen or thank you?
Well, both are good. Thank you, then amen. I think that works.
Yes, last evening I was looking at Huckabee. He has a program, Governor Huckabee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was interviewing Joel Osteen, the pastor from Texas, I think he is. But anyway, one thing that Governor Huckabee said that impressed me was, you know, we're headed in a direction, our problems are so global, so profound, so intense, that we're going to reach a point where we're going to realize that we cannot do it without God. And that's my prayer to people, to realize more and more that that is the only thing that's going to... I like the illustration. I use the sinking of the Titanic as a metaphor. Oh, not even God can sink it. I wouldn't go that far,
yeah,
brother.
Be careful, yeah.
You're going to need God, brother. And one scripture I'd like to leave you with, one of my favorite scriptures, that's Isaiah 25, verse 9. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Joyce. Appreciate your call.
Have a good day, Bob.
Good thoughts and a great scripture to focus us on the right place where our thanksgiving belongs. So, Jonathan, let's now take a moment and let's go to a song. Now, the lyrics of this song are very difficult.
So you have to listen.
You
very
have to
carefully.
Listen very carefully. It's short. It's called the Thank You Song.
THANKYOU,
thank you, thank you. THANKYOU. Thank you, thank you. THANKYOU. THANKYOU.
Here's where the lyrics get tough now. Did you get the words?
I don't know. I was trying to write them down. It was just confusing.
Simple, straightforward, to the point. It's about thank you. And obviously, it's about thank you to God. Let's put the concept of Thanksgiving in perspective with the most important things of our lives. And one quick thing, Jonathan. This song actually makes me think of somebody who died recently. She was a sister in our Bible class. Her name is Sister Mickey. And I had spent a lot of time with her, and she had been through all kinds of difficult things. We would study together and have lots and lots and lots of conversations. And during every single study and every single conversation I ever had with her, bar none, she would frequently, throughout the conversation, stop and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." And we'd continue, and then she'd stop and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." And it just was such a great example to me of what thankfulness really is supposed to be. And that's what that reminds me of, is dear Sister Mickey. So, Jonathan, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 25. And, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. And if you don't want to call but you want to email us, what do you do?
You can do that at Rick, R-A-C-K, at christianquestions.net. It is a personal email address, and you'll get a personal response in a timely fashion. Rick, it's at christianquestions.net.
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil.
So here it puts thanksgiving in a context of pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ, to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in everything. And if we can learn the secret of giving thanks in everything, then everything becomes a matter of godliness.
I like that.
And just think of the power that your life can be transformed by if we can have that continuous thankful attitude.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us.
So here now you build upon that foundation of pray without ceasing, giving thanks in everything, and quenching not the Spirit and so forth. And this is the recipe to bring the benefits of faith and sanctification. And sanctification it means to be set apart
for holy service.
Right, right. So that's the result of having that thankful life. It's not just being thankful when things are good, but having a thankful life.
Psalms 116, 12 through 19. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaiden, who hast loosed my bonds.
So here, it's one of those incredible questions that demands an answer. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Okay, so folks, if you look in the mirror and you ask yourself that question, what shall I render to God for his benefits to me? What's your answer? What kind of answer do you have? Is it a deep, heartfelt answer that says, I have got to do something? See, thankfulness, Jonathan, in this verse, is not just words.
Right.
It's action.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing. It's living thankfully.
And because you've received all these blessings, don't you want to give back?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a simple little thing. You know, it's such so reciprocal and so focused and so straightforward. We receive such great things. Obviously, we want to give back. That's the whole point. So let's finish up Psalm 116, 12 to 19.
I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
So this psalm, Psalm 116, really focuses on the substance of our sacrifices of thanksgiving, mm-hmm. taking action to put those sacrifices in place. It's not just words, and it's not just being having a feeling of thankfulness at one moment or another. Much, much more than that.
Yes.
Let's go to another short song. This one does have more words than the last one. This is We Gather Together. It's actually a very well-known hymn. Celtic Woman is singing it. The words are by, or it's written by Michael Saunders.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, the Lord was at our side, the glory divine. We all do extol thee, thou leader in battle, and pray that thou still our defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation, the name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free.
Simple, straightforward, we gather together to give honor to God. I'm not saying the exact words, but that's the point.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what it's about. And we're really close on time here, Jonathan. I want to get this last soundbite in. This was from LDS.org. Remember, we started at the very beginning of the program?
Yes.
And their point was, sometimes we forget the things that are around us.
That's right.
And now they're going to go on and say, okay, here's what happens when you live thankfully.
Those who live in thanksgiving daily, however,
have a way of opening their eyes
and seeing the wonders and beauties of this world
as though seeing them for the first time.
Look around you. Notice the people you care about.
Notice the fragrance of the flowers and the song of the bird.
Notice and give thanks for the blue of the sky,
the red of the leaves, and the white of the cloud.
Every sight, every smell,
every taste, every sound.
When we open our eyes and give thanks for the bountiful beauty of this life,
we live in thanksgiving daily.
So, Rick, having a thankful heart is therapeutic.
It is. It changes the way you focus. It changes the way you live. It changes what you think about, and it changes what you see.
It's a good way to reduce stress, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. Blood pressure down. Thankfulness up. Jonathan, we won't have time for the whole scripture, but Psalm 50, verses 7 through 14. Just get started with it, then we'll jump to the end.
Hear, O people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds.
Okay, so God is angry at Israel because mm-hmm. they're, and here's the important thing, they're offering up the sacrifices, but they're not living sacrificially.
Mm.
Big difference.
Going through the motions.
And the last verse there, verse 14,
offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High.
So the point is to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, not just by the rote things that you do, but with your heart. That's what Thanksgiving Day truly is all about. In the second hour, we're going to continue to look into some more presidential proclamations on Thanksgiving Day and how we can really become thankful. It's a life-changing experience. You don't want to miss it. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all of that. But till then, how do you live thankfully? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Dr. Seuss once said, "Don't be sad that it's over. Be glad that it happened." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that topic this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, how do you live thankfully? And our theme text is found in Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
So we're talking about Thanksgiving. We're looking at the true meaning of Thanksgiving, where Thanksgiving came from. It is a uniquely an American holiday. We did some things in the first hour looking at the origin, the fall of 1621. And we were focusing on the very, very little bit of history that there was in 1621.
That's right.
It was almost nothing there.
You're right.
And the first proclamation for a day of Thanksgiving was actually done by the Continental Congress, not George Washington.
Which I would have thought.
Right. And it was done in 1777.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through that. We read the first paragraph from that. We read the first paragraph from our President Barack Obama's Thanksgiving proclamation. And you can see there's great differences between the now and the then.
There are.
And we really are focusing on looking at Thanksgiving and what it really, really, truly means. And as we continue to recap this, folks, we do want to welcome in those of you at 100.3 WNOX in Knoxville, Tennessee. Thanks for joining us for this hour. We want to remind you that the first hour is available to you live online at ChristianQuestions.net. You go to the website, you click on the Listen Live button, brings you to the right place at the right time, and you can be a part of the program. And if you're not able to get it, you can certainly do afterwards, go to the what is that website? ChristianQuestions.net.
That's it.
And we will have the archive up on the website as well, along with many, many other archive programs.
Well, Rick, when we closed out the first hour, we were in Psalms 50, verses 7 through 14, and we realized that God doesn't need our things or our lip service. He wants our sincerity,
right,
for thankfulness.
And he was angry with Israel.
Oh, he
was. And he was saying, you know, you're offering me sacrifices. Just remember.
And I'm not accepting them because you're not sincere.
Right. He says, look, the cattle on a thousand hills, they're mine anyway.
Yeah, I made those.
Yeah. He's saying, that's not what I'm after from you. I'm not after the rote repetition. I'm after your heart, because by having a thankful heart, we transform our lives to be thankful lives. And a thankful life, Jonathan, is a very happy life, even under duress and difficult circumstances.
It's so true.
A couple of things, and then let's get back to our subject matter.
If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320. And you can contact us on the web at ChristianQuestions.net. There are many archive programs on a variety of subjects. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. Also at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first, the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. Now, it's a free download. But the second, the full edition, the one you really want, it's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcripts, and fully quoted scriptures plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now see it as well.
And on that Rewind, the full edition, we have these Thanksgiving proclamations in their entirety. And it really gives you a sense of what it's all about. So you definitely want to do that, the full edition. Thanks for that. Jonathan, the quote we started the second hour with was from Dr. Seuss. Don't be sad that it's over. Be glad that it happened. And the reason we opened that the second hour with that quote is a dear friend of ours died in the last several weeks. He's from California. His name's Michael Nakora. And he wrote his own little eulogy, asked for there not to be a service, and that's what he quoted. It was one of the things that he quoted. And, because this is a tribute of Thanksgiving, this program, I wanted to take a moment and express my thankfulness for his life example to me personally of what it means to be a true Christian and truly selfless and truly about his Father's business. That's what he was to me, and he was one of those examples that I think about on a regular basis and say, when I grow up, I want to be like that.
And everyone was important to him. He took time with everyone and wanted to know that they were special to him. Even my son, he met my son, and he took an hour of at lunchtime to really get to know him, to talk to him. How special he was.
He had a great ability to zero in on you as being the only person around. And what a wonderful example of Christ-likeness. And I'm just thankful for that example.
Absolutely.
So, what are you thankful for? That's what we're talking about, folks. Give us a call. Let us know at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. We want to hear what you have to say about today's show topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
So let's go back to a soundbite. This is from a small presentation. This is from Mormon.org. Now, look, we're not Mormons, but they have some good things to say about this. So, you've got to go to the source that expresses it. And this is in answer to the question, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my job, my health, wife, dog, and family. That's about it.
I don't know where to begin. I love wonderful weather. Why do you have to sweat? Why do you have to freeze? It's a beautiful day like today. It's perfect. What more do you want?
I'm thankful when the MTA works and I can get to class or work on time.
I'm thankful for my minivan.
Or when I can get a seat on the train.
Lunch and breakfast and dinner, I'm grateful for that.
Or when someone doesn't get a fight on the train.
Well, he is thankful for muffins.
Oh, yeah.
And donuts.
Donuts and muffins.
People are thankful for lots of things.
Alrighty then.
And our whole point here, folks, is to say, let's take our thankfulness and angle it toward God. That's really what we want to do, because all of the things that we're thankful for, ultimately we need to be thankful to God. Let's look at thankfulness, a great biblical example from Daniel the prophet in Daniel 2, 19 to 23.
Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, "Blessed be the name of God from age to age, for wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons, disposes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my ancestors, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power, and have now revealed to me what we asked of you, for you have revealed to us what the king ordered."
Now, of course, that revealing was, he revealed the dream that the king had had asked all of his wise men to tell him what it was.
Which they couldn't.
They couldn't, because he didn't tell them anything about the dream. He said, "I had this dream. Tell me what it was, and then tell me what it means." Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego pray together, and God reveals the answer to Daniel. And Daniel's thanksgiving here, Jonathan, is profound.
It is.
He's putting God in his place as the Almighty, and he's putting himself in his place as the insignificant one, and saying, it is you, God, that have presented this, and Daniel lived that thankfulness.
He did. What an example.
Yeah, well, we really need to do a program on Daniel.
We do.
We did one years and years ago, but I think it's time.
All right.
Not today, though. But anyway, again, folks, thankfulness. What is it that you are thankful for in your lives? We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL.
We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's go to the Thanksgiving Day proclamation by George Washington. Now, I mean, it's taken us this long to get to George Washington. We looked at the Pilgrim's History. We listened to Barack Obama's, the first paragraph of his. We listened to the Continental Congress. This is now in 1789, and this was the first presidential proclamation for Thanksgiving Day.
Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committees request me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness.
And it continues and continues, and again, the full text is available at ChristianQuestions.net. Sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, and you can read it there. But Jonathan, it's very obvious that his focus is on thanking God.
Absolutely.
Not thanking anybody else.
No.
Thanking God. A day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Now look, in the context of thanking God, we do want to thank others for being in our lives.
Absolutely.
And so let's go to a song. How'd you like that little segue there?
Oh, I liked it. It was good.
This is a Johnny Cash song called Thanksgiving Prayer, and it's about thanking somebody for teaching him something of great value.
Come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when thanksgiving is due. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And when the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, thanking the Lord He made you.
Johnny Cash, Thanksgiving Prayer. And again, it puts things in perspective. It is appropriate for us to be thankful to those and for those around us.
Yes.
But let's put that thankfulness in the context of thanking God first and foremost, because that's where all blessings ultimately come from. And Jonathan, we don't have time to read it, but Daniel 4, 34 to 37 is King Nebuchadnezzar from Daniel's time learning to be truly thankful to God. And folks, I want you to focus on maybe looking at that scripture later on, because we don't have time for it now. We need to understand how important thanking God was to Nebuchadnezzar, who didn't believe at first but went through hard experiences and really thanked God after.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? Is it possible to be thankful in all things in our lives? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4-ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And folks, we'd love to hear from you in regards to what it is you might be thankful for, perhaps experiences or memories or people, and obviously how can we put that all in the context of thanking God, because that's the most important thing. And we want to talk about this segment. We want to focus on, can you really be thankful in everything?
In everything.
Yeah, even in the bad stuff.
Yeah.
In the really bad stuff. How can you be thankful even in the really bad stuff? Well, we're going to get started with a song called, appropriately, In Everything Give Thanks, Charlotte Ritchie, Jeff, and Sherry Easter. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Never let you down. In everything give thanks. With all your heart believe that the Lord can take a circumstance and turn it all around. When you want sunshine to brighten up your day, but you find the clouds rain on your parade, don't forget somewhere someone you may not know is thanking God for the rain to make the crops grow. In everything give thanks, with all your heart give praise, for the Lord we serve will never let you down. In everything give thanks, with all your heart believe that the Lord can take a circumstance and turn it all around. Someone, and there's no one there. Remember all the times that you feel alone are the times He'll use to make you strong. In everything give thanks, with all your heart give praise, for the Lord we serve will never let you down. In everything give thanks, with all your heart believe that the Lord can take a circumstance and turn it all around.
And everything give thanks. I think they nailed it, didn't they?
They did.
The Lord can take a circumstance and turn it all around. He may not necessarily do that, but he can.
Yes.
The bottom line is he knows what's good for us ultimately, not for the moment necessarily, because God's thinking is not momentary thinking. His thinking is big picture thinking. So our experiences are designed for our ultimate benefit and may not be the most comfortable now, but that's why we learn to give thanks in everything.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? To be a part of our program, call 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, we have been visiting presidential and congressional proclamations of Thanksgiving. We want to visit one more. This is from 1863, Abraham Lincoln. And this is actually the first of what became an unbroken series of Thanksgiving proclamations. We're just going to read parts of what Abraham Lincoln said. And remember, this 1863 is dead set in the middle of the Civil War. So life was not good and comfortable. But listen to this.
The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God.
So that's how he gets it started. Let's skip down to a couple of lines here.
No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy.
I think that's a profound line. While dealing with us in anger for our sins, he's nevertheless remembered his mercy. And this is a classic example of in everything give thanks.
What wisdom.
It really is. It's very, very deep wisdom. And he go a little bit further on, Abraham Lincoln continues, it seems to me fit and proper that they should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So that's what Thanksgiving was for. It wasn't for turkey, it wasn't for football, it wasn't for all of those things. It was set aside to give thanks to God. And Jonathan, it's a resounding message of what our responsibility to God is and the transformational effect that living thankfully can have. Why don't we go to the phones?
All right, we have John from Tennessee. Good morning, John, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, guys. How are you all?
Doing well, sir. Great. How about you?
Good. Thank you very much. I just wanted to call and say how thankful I am for, of course, being a Christian and knowing the Lord. But most of all, I have a little sister that's terminally ill with cancer. She's in stage 4. And she's also a Christian, and that's one of the things I'm most thankful for is that. But she also started an organization here in my hometown in southeastern Kentucky, Corbin, for needy children. And this year, over 1,300 children will have Christmas gifts because of her. And I'm really thankful for her.
Wow. John, that is an amazing, amazing story. You must have an amazing sister.
Yeah. You know, I can't understand her drive and what makes her go and all the things that she does to help other people when she's so sick. But she is amazing.
John, thanks so much for sharing that with us. That is truly a blessed thing that you gave to us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and I really enjoy your show.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Jonathan, how do you in everything give thanks? And that is exactly what we've been trying to get to in looking at all of these things. Here's a man whose sister is dying. And yet he sees in her this incredible drive while she's dying to give to others. And she has done it in a big way, and she's positively affected thousands of other people as a result.
That's wonderful.
That is a God-blessed approach.
Mm-hmm.
And she has got to have an incredible thankfulness that wells up in her to have her continue to do that kind of work. Amazing. John, we really do appreciate your calling in. See, folks, it's not that hard, is it? 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And you do want to look into Seeker Rewind. We've been reading these presidential proclamations. They're there in full, in the full edition. You go to ChristianQuestions.net. You sign up for the full edition of Seeker Rewind. It's a PDF file that I get emailed to you once a week. It's easy to opt out when you don't want it anymore, or if you don't want it anymore. There's no obligation. It's a free service. Do check it out.
Plus bonus material and the scriptures and things that we just don't have time to read over the air at this time.
Right, right.
Go for it.
ChristianQuestions.net, Seeker Rewind. Okay, Jonathan, let's go back to some of those from that Mormon.org website, some of those what are you thankful for answers. We want to get to them. And just, again, little things that people are thankful for. These were people on the streets of New York that they just randomly stopped and asked, hey, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for too many things. It would take like hours to start it. I can send you a list via email or something like that.
I have both my parents. They're in love. I'm thankful for that example of, you know, how relationships should be after 36 years.
Well, I just celebrated my first wedding anniversary with my husband in September, and I'm thankful for having a wonderful husband.
I'm thankful for macaroni and cheese. I'm thankful for it because, obviously, it's a very funny-sounding food. But it's also a very heartwarming thing for me because my mother used to make macaroni and cheese for me every week when I was in kindergarten.
And so the memory is what grips him with the macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
All right. And look, that's one of the points here is that we can be thankful for so many things because God has given us the capacity to see and to observe things. Too often in our lives, we go through our life, we see things, but we don't observe them.
That's right.
And because we don't observe them, they don't affect us.
Now, you have a little story from your grandson.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of the things that I am so thankful for is the wonder of life. And he's 4 years old, and he and I have I'm blessed. We have such a great relationship. And, you know, we play all kinds of games. He's very, very imaginative, and he's taken to the music from the Newsies, which is a movie that came out back in the early 90s. It's a musical. It is incredibly well done. It's about the Newsboys in the early 1900s and forming a union and all of that. And it's all these boys singing and dancing. And you think, boys singing and dancing, you know, it's awesome. I love the movie. I just love it. But, you know, we're starting to learn some of the songs, and we sort of act them out together. And kids can get very embarrassed. But because we're doing this together, when he's learning to do different parts, he will just look me square in the eye, and it gives him confidence. And he doesn't feel embarrassed when he and I are doing this. And, he, you know, it's just so much fun for him to hear him just belt out the words and just be not worried about things. And it's just there's that innocence and that wonder of discovery. And I just want to be more like that. And it's just a great example to me of some of the things we should be thankful for.
Nice.
So again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net. So is it possible, Rick, to be thankful in all things?
It is. We won't read it because we don't have time, but 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. This is the Apostle Paul. He was truly blessed of God.
Mm-hmm.
But he was given this thorn in the flesh, this difficulty that plagued him and plagued him and plagued him. So he prays to God three times for its removal so he can do a better job of serving God. What's Jesus' answer to him?
My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.
So he gets the answer that no, my grace is what's going to carry you. And so his response is, most gladly therefore will I boast about my weaknesses. So he's saying, okay, I understand. I can be thankful for all things.
Even my weaknesses.
Because that's where the power of God dwells. And I'm reminded back of John's phone call just a few moments ago. the power of God dwells in those weaknesses and those difficulties that his sister is going through. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, where does she get the drive? I can tell you where she gets the drive. It's from that God-honoring attitude of wanting to be godly and to be giving. And that's what Thanksgiving is really, truly all about. And Jonathan, another scripture we won't have time to read, but we'll refer to briefly. Jonah chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Now, we know the story of Jonah.
Oh, yeah.
He's told to go to Nineveh to preach, and what does he do?
Went the other way.
And where does he end up?
In the belly of a fish.
Not a good situation. But in the belly of the fish, he prays.
And he remembers the Lord.
And his prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving, even though he's at death's doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts things in perspective. And that's, can we be thankful in all things? Yes, we can. We have seen tremendous examples in these last few minutes of how to do that.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, how do you live thankfully? Have you ever heard the song Blessings by Laura Story? You can't miss this. That's next. It's my new favorite song.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live thankfully? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, it's all about giving thanks to God. It's all about thanksgiving. It's all about transforming your life by living thankfully.
Getting your heart in the right perspective.
So we can truly be give thanks in all things. And we have a wonderful song coming up called Blessings. I had never heard it before.
Me neither, and I love it. I love it. I love it.
So, Fred, let's get that started. This is Blessings by Laura Story. And, folks, as we listen to this, I want you to really focus on the words and the message, because it just puts things in a tremendous perspective on what we should be seeing in the experiences of our lives.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? To hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. Tears and love.
in life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise.
What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? What if? What if blessings come through the rain? What if healing comes through the tears? What if? And Jonathan, that's what thankfulness truly is. It is looking at the what if in the context of the goodness and glory and compassion and mercy and love of God and saying, there's something bigger here. I can rest in the difficulties.
In his overruling in all your experiences.
It is just an amazing message. Again, that was Blessings by Laura Story. Never heard of her or it.
Me neither.
We know now. I'll tell you that. Just gives you great, great perspective. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We're talking about Thanksgiving, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. And now would certainly be the time, because time is beginning to run a little bit short here.
And check out our website, ChristianQuestions.net, and many of our archive programs on a variety of subjects. Again, ChristianQuestions.net.
Also, if you don't want to talk on the phone but would like to contact us, you can certainly email us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. That is a personal email address, and you'll get a personal response from there. Jonathan, let's look at three steps to stopping long enough to become thankful in our daily lives, because we live in a world where stopping doesn't seem to be an option.
It's crazy out there.
I mean, slowing down, you're going to get run over.
Exactly.
Never mind stop, right? So how do you do that? Well, first of all, we need to be, and we've been talking about this, be aware of our surroundings and choose the environment that we want our mind to flourish in. We do have choices with that. This reminds me of Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Now see, this Psalm 1, 1 to 3, it starts out with choices. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It means he could, but he chooses not to.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He could,
but he doesn't.
But he stays away from it. Who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful? He could, but decides not to. Why? Because in God's law, he meditates
day and night. He delights in it.
So he chooses the environment for his mind and heart to flourish in. Folks, we have that ability to choose. We can do that. And if we want to stop long enough to become thankful, that's something I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Choose the environment for your mind to be able to flourish. That's the first step. What's the second step? Let's look at Psalm 43, verses 3 to 8.
But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
So here, Jonathan, in this psalm, it's talking about meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. So we looked at choosing the environment for your mind and your heart to flourish in.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's make a conscious effort to focus on Thanksgiving at a time when there doesn't have to be everything else.
That's right.
Because when you lay down to go to sleep, it's all over.
How about making it a priority?
And that, see, when you do it at night, what happens is, okay, the day is done, all of those things have happened, and now the priority can be to get back to God.
Mm-hmm.
You take that little bit of time, nobody's around, it's quiet. That's a great way to get ourselves to be thankful in our lives, being very, very clear on that. And Jonathan, actually, you know what? We've got one more step, but you know what? Let's go to the phones first,
make sure
we get this call in.
We have Alice from Indiana. Good morning, Alice, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, Jonathan and Rick.
Good morning.
I will make this brief because I probably can't talk very much.
You've touched me deeply with a song you just played. That's why I can't talk. It touched many chords in me with lots of experiences I've had in life. And I thank you for that. And I'm going to look that one up and give it to my husband and with all, whoever I can, because that was a blessing. And I thank you for your program.
Thank you, Alice. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's what Thanksgiving is, Jonathan. It is, see, if we learn to live thankfully, that thankfulness, it changes the way you look at everything.
It does.
It repaints it with brighter colors. And even if it's difficult, you can see it. And again, it's what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? What if? You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it if they are. So that's why we have to grab hold of them in thankfulness, because God knows.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Mickey, I was telling you about.
Yes.
The other thing that she always used to say is, don't worry, God's got this.
Oh, I love that.
God's got this. And it just puts things in perspective. Alice, thanks so much for the call and your heartfelt sentiments on thankfulness for and seeing things through a godly eye and a godly perspective. Let's go to our third point, Jonathan. We talked about be aware of your surroundings and choosing your environment that you want your heart and mind to flourish in. We talked about making a conscious effort to make Thanksgiving a high priority.
Yes.
So, you know, at night, you know, when everything's done. Now, what's the last point? Exodus 16, 1 to 3.
Then they set out for Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly by hunger."
That doesn't sound very thankful, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't. And here's the point. The point is that Israel was released, miraculously released from slavery.
Yes.
They're hungry, though, and so they're complaining, saying, well, we should, it would be so much better to be back
in
slavery. Because they had selective memory. They remembered, okay, there was food, but they were forgetting the deep toil and pain and suffering that they lived with 24 hours a day. So selective memory is not a good thing here.
No.
See, for us to be truly thankful, to stop long enough, we have to live in the present, firmly in the present, not with one foot in the past, not with one foot in the future, but firmly planted in today. Just let's touch on their selective memory for a moment. Exodus 1, 8 to 11.
Now a new king arose out of Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Behold, the sons of Israel are more mightier than we." So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor.
That's the thing that they were not thinking of when they were hungry.
Right.
So what we have to do, Jonathan, is we have to take the experiences of the past and keep them there. You draw from them when it's appropriate to learn, but you keep them where they belong, in the past.
Good point.
We have to take the things that are going to happen tomorrow and the day after and the day after and keep them in the future. They're reference points to look for and to plan for. But today is where we can firmly plant our feet and stop to be thankful. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's touch on, as we end here, Jonathan, Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. This is Thanksgiving.
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations.
And that puts it in perspective. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, not just you or you or you, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord, come before him with joyful singing. Now look, maybe some of us can't sing. God doesn't care what you sound like.
That's right.
What he cares about is what's in your heart. And that, folks, that is what Thanksgiving is all about. When we look at the American history of Thanksgiving, what we see is focusing on God, not anything else, focusing on thanking God for his mercy, his compassion, and his blessings. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. There's so much to talk about with such a simple holiday. We want to invite you to join us on Facebook. Leave your comments there. It's a great way to continue our communication one with another. But as we leave you today, think about making the day of Thanksgiving a transformational day. I know it already happened last Thursday, but you still have a chance to make its concept transform the way you live every day of your lives. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week, but until then, how do you live thankfully? Think about it.